This show is sponsored by NatureBox. Order great-tasting, healthy snacks right to your door. Take the vending machine and get in shape for summer with healthy, delicious treats. And they're great for you, too. We're talking healthy and great-tasting snacks like PB&J granola, pistachio power clusters, baked sweet potato fries, South Pacific plantain chips, and over 100 more. All with zero trans fats, zero high fructose corn syrup, and nothing artificial. You'll even find snacks that are gluten-conscious and non-GMO. And with free shipping anywhere in the contiguous states, NatureBox is busting up the vending machine's monopoly on your midday hunger. Support this podcast and get 50% off your first order. Go to naturebox.com/SBNation. That's naturebox.com/SBNation. Time to snack smarter. Stay full, stay strong. Go to naturebox.com/SBNation. That's naturebox.com/SBNation.
Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. But, that's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We've got an opposition. But it makes your race listen. Our voice is about the game. And you know, we talk about the latest stories. More so than any other. And our mountain west matters. Well, well, you listen to the podcast too. And you read about the podcast too. Just a thought, we're German and love the masses, and kiss the grin, the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Ashley, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to the podcast too. You love this podcast too.
All right, and welcome into the latest Mountain West Connection podcast show, radio extravaganza here. Jeremy here, hanging out with Chris as always. Tonight's a smorgasbord of a show. So what's happening, Chris?
Not too much.
Hey, you know what? I like the fact that the theme song didn't drop as much last time.
That's true, yeah. Internet connection can be great. It's better than the Joshua with Matthew Farber. I'm not sure if how many people listen to it, but apparently, even though I'm connected hardwired to the internet, my connection to Skype has kicked me out. Luckily, he stayed on the line for the 10 seconds to call back in and it worked, but that was awkward. But welcome to the show. This is the show here. We have started, for everybody's wondering. Again, MWCConnection.com, Mountain West Connect, or excuse me, let's get this right here. MWC Connection on Twitter, your grid cadre. And hey, it's mid-May. We're doing a college football and a little basketball show. Nothing can't be worse than that, right?
Right. No, you know, unless we decide to talk about golf or something like that. Hey, why don't you go ahead and give them the phone? Why don't you give them the phone number to call in if they really want to call in?
If you really want to call in a college football show in May at 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific, the number is, I put it on Twitter, but 347-637-3347. Again, 347-637-3347. We know most of our listeners come after the fact. But, hey, if you're listening live, we know there's a few people out there. Chime in.
Yeah. You know, we're trying to build a community here. And so it's not just commenting on the website, but, you know, trying to bug us with random questions too while we do a live podcast. So,
and hopefully you don't step us too bad. Because I did get a question. I was looking up. Part of the show we're going to talk about is the Max Wittick transfer news / non-news. Some guy puts in the comments there, hey, what happened to Steven Rivers from LSU? I told him about 2 minutes ago. We'll find out and listen to our show. So we'll look that up momentarily. But this will be, like we do, it's not going to be off topic, but random. That makes sense, everybody?
We're going to get a BYU fan calling in, right? It's all Craig Thompson's fault. It's all Craig Thompson's fault. It's a conspiracy theory that we can't be in a big bowl game.
We will get into some news regarding former conference mates BYU and where they might end up, courtesy of Dennis Dodd of CBSports.com, who happened to join a particular radio program I'm a part of. So we'll discuss that as well, because I was laughing very heartily when I heard him say that. So we'll get to everything here. Is there anything, any breaking news we need to discuss, and maybe your personal life, anything you want to get up and get out and open to anybody?
Me? No, there's nothing going on in my there's nothing on going on with my life right now.
No, I'm just curious. Just wondering. For those who are interested, it looks like Steven Rivers or the one comment we had. It looks like he's going to Vanderbilt, so this is back in March, so yeah, he might be staying in conference, so let's just stick with that. Let's just before we get to the show, let's we are going to shill out to maybe get a few bucks our way. Audible books or audiobooks. Those are pretty cool. I always mention Stephen Colbert, future host of The Late Show with David. Well, almost called a Jimmy Fallon there. Where he goes,
starting in 2015, right?
Yes, I believe so. But what Jimmy Fallon said, I think he hosted a Saturday Night Live or something. He's like, or no, on his own show, Late Night, whatever it's called. He goes, I'm taking over the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. It's like, no, he's going to be the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. No, but what we're getting at, you go to audibletrial.com/MountainWest, get a month free of audiobooks. There's New York Times bestsellers. As I mentioned, find I'm American, Token You by Stephen Colbert. The reason I mentioned that one, because it's the only audiobook I've ever listened to. I listen to it all the time. He's hilarious. He's great. He has another book I need to get as well, correct, Chris?
Yes.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. I forgot. No. Sorry. I'm kind of having a hard time hearing you, so I'm going to try and call in from the other line real quick.
Okay, I'll keep going here. I'll wrap this part up, and you call in through a better connection there, so I'll let you go there. As I'm saying, hey, check it out. Support our show, audibletrial.com/MountainWest. You can use it on your Android, Windows Phone, iOS. That's Apple, for those folks out there, your iPhone. Check that out. There's Game of Thrones, so you can listen to the author, was it George R. R. Murrow, or Miller, whatever his name is, the Game of Thrones author. Hello, Chris, you're back. As I was saying,
George R. R. Martin, never Game of Thrones and music.
Yes, you can listen to those books there, so check that out. So help us out, show, give us a couple bucks, that'd be awesome. But hey, if you're like me, I have an hour commute to my office. Perfect time to listen to that. Easy to get the way in a couple. Or even if you're driving, you have an hour, train, whatever. Listen to that after you listen to our show. So, let's get into it. There's not really any set order for you tonight. Besides, I assume you read our email, my email, right, Chris? You know what we're going to talk about.
I did.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Thank you for that.
Sure.
I appreciate that. Let's just start the quick news with the Max. There's a couple of transfer news. Max Winnick, USC quarterback who lost a job to Cody Kessler, partway during the year. He's been looking between Texas and Hawaii. Two big extremes there, but he's not transferring to either school and can't transfer because, well, he's not going to graduate on time.
Yeah, no, here's the thing about that. Max Wittig is actually being a good college student. So I know we don't talk about this a lot, and I know I'm the kind of more of the academic type, but you guys realize that most of these kids won't go professional after they play football.
They've all seen the commercial, right? What, 98% won't go pro or something, whatever it is?
Yeah, 98% won't go pro. Some sort of, you know, actual realistic statistic like that. So here's the thing. This guy's actually focusing on his career. So if he won't graduate in time, then, you know, it's more important for your academics. And actually, if you do... Okay, so graduating in December, and this is actually, like, I like this idea because we're reading the news here, and by the news, I mean our article that we wrote.
Yeah,
graduate in December, join an FCS team, play next year. If you can't, you know, you have one more year after you do, and that would be called, like, it'd be closer to an academic redshirt.
Yeah.
It's not quite, but it would be closer to it.
When I first thought of it, I'm like, oh, this sucks because he announced a transfer a while ago. It does hurt him a little bit because he should, first off, he should have thought out better that he knew he could have finished by summertime to join the program. But seriously, even if he goes to Hawaii right now, odds of insanity, if he comes in, assuming he would have graduated during the summer term, which depending, whatever, sometime in July most likely, late July, or maybe even early August, depending on your school, even in Hawaii, who has a mess of a quarterback situation, he probably wasn't going to start at Hawaii anyways. And how many reps was he going to get? So it's not the end of the world that he doesn't go to. Even in Texas has a similar situation. Their quarterback's a mess. David Ash has a, I believe he broke his ankle. There's just a lot of things going on there where he's not going to start right away. The only downside is, because if he graduated, he could play right away. He has 2 years left to play. Now he'll be down to 1 year to play one, unless he decides to go like FCS school in the next couple weeks, 6 months. Even then, he's a pretty high caliber guy. Was he a 4-star at high school, I believe? But here's the thing: if he goes for a spring, and 1 year, he'll be almost the same situation as if he went to a school right now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, fully.
The only downside, I guess, how much he can work out and whoever he's going to work with throwing the ball. That's the only issue. But he's still not sure where he's going to go. Looks like he's leaning toward Texas because he's visited more often there. But who really knows at this point? So, but you're right. If you graduate early, you can move. Focus on that and work out, and hopefully you can have 1 year to blow it up and maybe make the NFL get a shot.
And this is, yeah, and once again, this is one of those things where it's better to focus on your career. You could still follow college football. You could still, you know, follow your team, support your team where you're at, even on, you know, with the standing on a clipboard side. But this is, I think, more important for the long run for this guy.
Especially getting a degree from USC is a pretty big deal if you graduate from there. Instead of spending 7 semesters there or so, and then actually graduated from another school.
Yep, absolutely.
Because he was, so apparently it looks like he was really quick. He was a third-rated quarterback in 76th national ranking back in his high school days, class of 2011.
His offers, yeah, there wasn't quite living up to that. I mean, thanks, Lane Kiffin.
Of course. Another transfer news. Wyoming's getting a quarterback, and they need quarterback.
Yeah. He had a good quarterback, too.
Yeah,
Kevin Proctor.
Yeah, it took 4 months. Cameron Coughlin.
Sorry, Cameron Coughlin.
Yeah,
looking
4 months.
Looking at the wrong Wyoming transfer. Sorry.
That's the other guy. Yeah, he's put on Instagram. Obviously, nothing's complete unless you Photoshop your uniform on there with your new team. Obviously, that's what you do. He's going to be heading to play to Indiana. He's going to head to Craig Bowl, which Wyoming needs a quarterback. Jason Thompson went to Utah to follow Dan Christensen, freshman, went on draft in the NFL. Nelson Rose keep a track. He's not doing too good in Tampa Bay right now, and he may not make the team, which is a shame because that situation was pretty dire. Brett Smith. Even though the Tampa Bay quarterback situation is pretty terrible, he may not even be able to crack that, the 3-deep.
Yeah. I told you. You needed one more year of development. And in the meantime, it is a total, complete, random goal of, we'll go ahead and say, of the blog, to try and get, even though we have no actual power, to try and get Wyoming back to a bowl game because their coach's name is Craig Bowl. So we can just make all the bowling puns.
Of course, definitely. Yes, we can always do that. So one other thing about the transfer here is that they're not sure if he'll be able to play right away. He's like, I guess we won't know until later about that.
Yeah, something on like that. Other interesting news. So I don't know where you stand or not.
Sorry for the interruption there.
That's okay. I'm moving on. We'll get back to football in a second. But interesting news. The incoming freshman for UNLV, Rashad Vaughn and Dwayne Morgan, selected for the men's basketball under-18 national team. Now, I don't know, like, how what our listeners or how closely pay attention to national teams, you know, playing for the U.S. is a big deal, especially when you're playing for basketball.
And only
when you're selected for... Go ahead.
Yeah, no, continue with that.
And when you're selected for an under 21 or an under 18 or even an under 17 or under 16 squad, that's pretty big because of the fact that you're showing promise to make the national, to make the, you know, top tier national team or to make the top roster in a few years. So you keep on that, you keep on that path. That means you've got a really good chance. And I mean, to give an example, Boise State, Anthony Dermig and Igor Hadziamarevich, and I believe Alex Kirk from New Mexico.
And also,
Cameron Bairstow. All under 21 national basketball team players for Australia.
Australia and the United States.
So this is kind of a big thing.
Well, Alex Kirk made it for the U.S. team. He was there. He didn't play much.
That's right. Alex Kirk
there.
Made it for the U.S. team. I said Australia.
Yeah. Well, the other guys did, yeah. But it's a big deal. And also a big deal, you know, Arizona, Duke, or I think there's maybe one other school, are the only ones that have more than one person on this team.
Yeah. So I was talking to somebody earlier today, and they were worried about UNLV because, you know, everybody on their team is leaving, and Will Smith was rumored to leave, although I have no clue where he got that rumor. But once again, with this kind of news, you can't think there's, you know, there's nothing but hope for UNLV, even if there's a whole bunch of guys leaving.
Yeah, they've had one of out of any team, not just to say it because we've covered the Mountain West and UNLV basketball and everything. Their offseason for basketball has been one of the most crazy ones out there. They've had Kem Birch has gone, guy transferred, go to the NBA. We get transfer coming in. It's hard to keep up with who they're getting, who they're not getting, and who's leaving, who's going. It seems like they've. But then they got these three top 60 recruiting classes, top 60 recruiting classes for these three players. You would think they're going to be some sort of, hopefully, because last year wasn't bad. They still won 20 games, but it is a vastly underachieved compared to the year before with Anthony Bennett and everything, with Mike Moser and all those guys who no longer went to program this past year. But you still got 20 wins, and everybody thought it was a disappointing season.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's go
to the basketball. Where are you going to go?
Well, let's go to kind of the Mountain West meetings a little bit because we have a little basketball news there. This news, you probably heard, it's about a week or so old. I forgot the Mountain West had their meetings coming on. For basketball, there's the scheduling with conference schedule is interesting this past year because they had the unbalanced schedule with the 11 teams. Yeah, Hawaii doesn't play basketball. That's right. 11 teams. They played 18 conference games. You saw New Mexico and San Diego State play, twice in the last 10 days? So they're because they either want to go to 16 or go to 20, because I guess it's a random computer formula of some sort what they do. But they're gonna Ermine's 18. They're somewhat 20. Steve Fisher on 16, just so that they could get more better non-conference games. So I don't know how that works. It's weird when you play 18, you play 10. I think that's not the worst schedule because you play 10 games against everybody once, and then you play 8 games twice. That's almost entirely. I just think they need to. I think what Steve Fisher's issue was, besides wanting better non-conference games, is that let's not play the same team the last week of the season twice. I think that's just the main issue.
Which, you know, that's an understandable issue.
It is, and you.
But at the same time, I mean, we can feel free to make fun of the ACC's 18 schedule or the SEC's 18 schedule in football. For the same exact reason, they play their guys twice, and it allows them to have more non-conference games. If you have more non-conference games, you can play whoever you want. Now, San Diego State, they're going to play more difficult opponents because that's San Diego State's philosophy.
And UNLV, yeah, few teams.
Whereas, you know, if you're else, you're going to want to rack up some wins. I'll go ahead and point out, like, my alma mater, UCR. They're not looking to play top teams, you know, and just for record, everybody, the Big West has a 16-game conference schedule. They're not looking to play big teams so they can start the season 0-11. Teams can't belong to shape. They want to rack up as many wins as they can before they start conference play. So, that being said, you know, this is a good compromise for the 20-game schedule and then for the 16-game schedule.
How many teams are in the Big West? Is it 10 teams? Because I know they've changed a little bit with Pacific coming in at Hawaii and everything. Or Pacific leaving, I should say, and Hawaii entering.
There are 9 teams in the conference total, so it's I'm sorry, it's an 18-team schedule.
Okay, that's good. Okay. Makes sense. So basketball, we'll get back to these meetings in a second, but there's an interesting, let's kind of stick with basketball, Steve Fisher. San Diego State is adding Cincinnati to their schedule this upcoming season for basketball. It's just a long road to get this done. It took 3 athletic directors, a possibility of joining a conference to cancel the series, which originally started as a football. So really quick, back in 07, these teams agreed to a home-and-home. And or no, actually, the first game was in 2012 was the this is quite confusing here. I wish I would have read this sooner. Sorry, 07 was the first game. 2012 was supposed to be the return trip for football. Well, San Diego State was going to be in the Big East, now the American. They backed out, so they canceled the agreement after pushing the game out. Now they're obviously not in separate conferences. Now it keeps getting pushed back. Somehow, I don't know how this agreement came about, but now basketball is going to take the football trip and go to Cincinnati for a basketball game. Seems kind of interesting, to say the least. If that made sense to everybody out there. No? Yes? I need to repeat myself?
No, it kind of makes sense. You unnecessarily involved the football team, but whatever.
Well, no, it started out as a football agreement.
Oh.
Yeah, in 07 was, San Diego State hosted Cincinnati. 2012, the game kept being pushed back till the play in 2012. Then they were supposed to be in the same conference, so they canceled it. But I guess for some reason they decided to bring it back, and they couldn't find a deal. And so they're going to play basketball. I guess it's a good thing because this is a road game. So San Diego State could actually either get an easier win at home, get another home game, or go out and schedule some big-time school and get a payday of about $1.5 million if they wanted to. It's just an odd situation. So who do you think benefits more? The basketball team getting a good team in a conference game, or the football team who can schedule whoever? Either schedule a win or schedule a big-time road opponent in 2016.
Both.
Okay, makes sense.
The reason why it's this. Once again, Steve Fisher's philosophy, trying to schedule a big-name conference opponent
on the road.
On the road. They're willing to do it. Whereas the football, this gives them one more game to be scheduled against somebody else. In Cincinnati, because they're American Athletic and they have the supposed they don't have a power conference, but that does allow them to play a regional power. You know, like Louisville.
ACC now, remember?
ACC now. Of course, San Diego State can take that extra football game, and, I'm going to go ahead and look it up. Footballschedules.com.
Apparently I have hiccups right now. Sorry about that, folks.
And see who San Diego State has scheduled for the next couple of years. Because that's a non-conference schedule that they haven't decided yet. If they haven't, they're already scheduled to play Cal and Penn State next year.
This is 2016, though.
Oh, 2016. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'll move one more year. I think there's still a hefty schedule. Cal and New Mexico State. Okay. So they can try and schedule Penn State again. Or another Big Ten team. Hello, Michigan.
Not Ohio State.
No, because Ohio State wants to play easy teams.
Sure. And that's also... Right. Well, it seems easy last year when they played San Diego State.
Hey, and, you know, let's not go into that.
Just saying. Yeah, both those are at home in 2016, so they can get another home game, or they can go out and open up a non-conference big opponent to get a payday, pay for something. So let's go back to those meetings. There's a lot of little stuff in the meetings. I'll run down some simple stuff where you can say whatever, yes or no on it. The TV bonus structure is staying the same. However, this is an interesting twist. There were a thought of flipping it where you got paid more weeknight than Saturday night. That's kind of weird.
No.
No, you think you should get paid more for playing a Wednesday night or Thursday night instead?
No, I don't necessarily agree with that statement, but that there's talk of flipping the amounts for playing on weeknights because, once again, the quote-unquote student athlete.
What is that?
Right? Nice. Damn, dude. Wow, that was cool. So basically, you know, the student athlete supposedly has to study in the middle of the week, so playing games during the week is a little bit more difficult, so the school should get more money for that. That would be the reason why. Although
and
I still think
I would say also you're the only game in town to get more money for being the show. Not to steal that student section, but when there's two games on compared to six, or you know what I mean, on Saturday evening, late afternoon, that kind of makes sense.
Although I will tell you that people who love their college football love the 7:30 p.m. start time slots because they got to stay up and watch it all night. People like me.
The Pacific
or,
time zone, yeah.
On the East Coast.
Talk
about our SB Nation buddies who love staying up all night and watching football.
Our good buds, Jason Kirk, Luke Zimmerman, Matt Brown. Like I know Matt Brown. He'll be watching those late night BYU games, definitely in D.C.
Spencer Hall, of course.
In Georgia.
Last season when you're going watching, when you're watching Twitter while you're watching games, and the random tweet comes on as, it's 1 a.m. in the morning, and this game is about to overtime. Everybody turn on your TV now.
Yeah, Fresno State Rutgers last year on that Thursday or Friday night.
Fresno State?
Oh, well, that was online. Still.
Which people are still watching.
Yes. I just remember the Rutgers
Fresno
game.
Saying the Oceanic Network.
I was saying the Fresno Rutgers game. I think that started 8 Pacific time. And I'm an hour ahead, so it's 9. I even told people when overtime started. I'm like, I can't imagine people on the East Coast too. But like, I'll record it if it happens if it doesn't win in overtime or regulation. But hey, those late night games, Saturday night, there's still not much competition. There's you, the Mountain West, and maybe a BYU game on earlier, or a Pac-12 game on. Not many games in that time zone.
Yeah, totally.
All right, so some other news. They're just kind of talking about if they're gonna do the autonomy of the full cost of attendance or scholarship, that could be about another $500K per school. But it's interesting, 10 of the 12 voted yes to do it if that was the case, but the other two just wanted more information. So it seems like if there's going to be a full cost of attendance or scholarship, whatever you want to call it, Mountain West will go along with it.
Okay, so I don't know if we need to have those votes available, but your guess, who were the two no votes?
Interesting. I want to say Air Force, but Air Force provides everything they need anyways.
Right. So I don't think it would be Air Force.
And the reason the two voted against it is because it was vague, which it is vague. They had the same issue with the training table for the how much unlimited food you could get and stuff, however that may be. The two, I would say Hawaii and New Mexico.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and go completely different from you, and this is my thinking, and just because I'm temporary living here. I think the two Nevada schools.
Why is that?
Nevada, the University of Nevada school system, as well as the state in general, is in a serious budget crisis.
So is California State universities as well, and that would include Fresno and San Diego and San Jose State.
Yes, but the difference is Fresno State, San Jose State, and San Diego State, while they are part of the Cal State systems, they have more than enough finances to at least try and bring it up.
Okay.
Or they can make the cuts where they need to.
Nevada already made tons of cuts to their education system and to their athletics programs. They can't find $500,000 more.
I think that makes sense because there is a big issue about Bobby Hauk getting that extension.
Because typically, oh, to get the extension, the border regions have to approve it. And there are some real issues about what we need to wait to approve this. We need to actually have a vote and sit down. Why did you get a raise for this? And then you see they're having to spend money for the APR because they are banned from postseason football. They have to spend extra money to still make its progress, despite the fact they had one bad year that ruined everything for the most part.
Yeah.
And so they come up with a couple hundred thousand dollars to party updates or add libraries when reading still articles and stories. There, the library is right next to football facility.
Exactly. So do you understand where I'm coming from?
Oh, I do, yeah. If it's half a million, that's a third of what the coaches make.
You can buy a house for that.
You good?
Good.
All right, and then let's see, a few other things here. Let's see. Looking at the meetings as well. And they're not sure if the benefits, like, already discussed this, like, if they can make their own choices or not. Thompson's already said to be in favor of that, but that would just kind of create even more separation for some schools, like you said, the Nevada schools who can't afford it. And then also, Mountain West is getting a bump in pay for the playoff. They're getting about $10 million more starting next year.
Woo!
For the conference, not for school, of course.
No, I got that. But that's
so
still
technically.
That's about $1 million per school.
Yeah, the maximum is about $18 million.
All right.
And then
so.
Well, hold on. One more thing, real quick. If the team gets in, there's another $6 million, and that's pretty unlikely at least this next year.
I'm gonna go ahead and say okay. So. Let's go ahead and bring this show off topic.
Of course.
But we're totally on topic.
That's what we do.
And regarding the 2014-2015 season with the new college football playoff, we posted this online. But let's talk about it and get unreasonably angry about it.
Aha.
Early bowl projections.
Jerry Palm. Yes, we could save the other topic momentarily. What was your big error? Okay, first thing first. Mountain West had six bowl tie-ins.
Seven.
No, six bowl tie-ins. Tie-ins.
Six bowl tie-ins, but seven teams projected.
Yeah, seven teams projected. Sorry, folks, that seventh team is not getting the Athens bowl game. What are we going to call it? Because I call it the Athens bowl. Some people call it the New Year's Six. What's the official term? And then I hear...
Big idiot. Money bowl.
No, idiots, you still call it the BCS.
Well, it is a BCS.
Well, I mean, it
don't
is.
Don't kid yourself. It's only still BCS.
You know what I mean, but it's like, at least get close to the term here.
Okay, fine. Big money bowls that are historically relevant, and the other bowl games are just mini payouts for ESPN.
Yes. Programming in December.
Because guess what? The Atlanta Bowl is not the Atlanta Bowl. It's going back to the Peach Bowl. Unless it's
Chick-fil-A.
Just Jerry Palm's title. And the AT&T Cotton Bowl is a big money bowl, and it's going to be the Cotton Bowl. And guess what? Both of those bowl games are relevant.
They are now more relevant than they were before, even though they kind of were. Not kind of, they were. They just were pushed down a peg because of the actual Rose Sugar Fiesta Orange. What they have here... Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, the South Carolina Nation, Cincinnati will be the best group of five teams.
I'm sorry, Cincinnati, they play Ohio State at the beginning of the season. You really think that if Ohio State is supposed to make the playoff, that Cincinnati, with at least one loss, is going to make a big money bowl game?
History tells us no. We've only had one team ever with a loss get into the BCS from the non-BCS teams. And that was Northern Illinois. So I didn't even realize that. Plus, if you're making the playoff, no, that's highly unlikely. Because you can look at the Mountain West. I discussed months ago, it's super early. I could theoretically see Boise State have zero losses this year for how they're scheduled.
I could see any Mountain West team. I could see any top-tier Mountain West team going undefeated and beating out Cincinnati for the spot. Okay.
Yeah, because you're not going to beat Ohio State. And here's the thing. If Ohio State loses, they're not going to make the playoff.
And here's
Jerry
the other
Palm
thing.
Has one SEC team, not two.
Here's the Which, other thing. Miami, they play not only Ohio State, but they also play Miami, Florida.
Cincinnati does?
Yeah.
SOS, man. SOS. Drink.
SOS. Unless they sweep. I'm sorry, your conference schedule looks like this. Miami, Southern Methodist, South Florida, Tulane, East Carolina, Temple, Houston. They're not even going – oh, and Connecticut. I forgot Connecticut's still AAC.
Yeah.
Still at.
Houston.
I'm sorry, I don't think they'd be able to run undefeated in that conference.
Houston's not a bad team. They got some luck factor with a huge – their plus 30 turnover margin. They got John O'Corn back there. He's going to be a sophomore. And he's probably one of the more underrated quarterbacks out there in the country. For many levels, doesn't matter if you're in the Big Ten or Pac-12 or wherever, he's that good. And I'm just saying,
they'd lose to Houston. I could see them losing to SMU or USF.
Ohio State.
Yeah, this is a 3 or 4 loss team easily. I don't know where Jerry Palm is getting that.
It's early. So, take a deep breath. It's only May 17th today, May 18th.
I told you I wanted to get unreasonably angry.
We're pre-Memorial Day here. Remember that. Also, I know what else is going to make you angry. Utah State in the New Mexico Bowl.
Yeah, that's the other thing. What the hell? Okay,
that's a pick number 5 or 6, isn't it, usually?
Yeah. So here's the question for you. Since we're still talking about bowl projections and bowl games in general, looking at this early projection, and this is something game in. Once again, the phone number to call if you want to call in and contribute. So the phone number is 347-637-3347. It's Jerry Palm's way too early bowl projections. My question for you is this. Looking at this early bowl projection and looking at these bowl games, what bowl game would you want to go to if you had unlimited number of resources at your disposal?
Mountain West or overall?
Overall, Mountain West. Okay, first choose a Mountain West and then choose an overall.
Let me pull up my handy-dandy chart here. Out of the Mountain West game, San Diego State Marshall.
That's harder than Dallas, right?
Yes, harder than Dallas ball because San Diego State takes the Big Ten, Big 12 spot. Because Marshall should be pretty good, has a quarterback. I'm not going to look it up right now. It's a Heisman contention, at least, so it's early Heisman consideration. That would be, and second would be Boise State, Arizona State.
Even though we've already seen that bowl?
When did we see those two teams play recently?
2 or 3 years ago, Las Vegas Bowl.
Oh, you're right. Okay. If I pick a dark horse, I get the Utah State Rice being good because Rice is unexpectedly on the rise a little bit. But, yeah, Marshall SDSU would be my top choice.
Okay. So those would be your top two games general, or those are your top two Mountain West games?
Mountain West.
Okay. What about regular bowl games?
Well, who are your Mountain West teams then? You got to give me that. Well, give you time to look over the other bowl games.
Honestly, my Mountain West rep matchup that I would love to go see, New Orleans Bowl, Arkansas State, Wyoming.
That could be interesting.
It could be interesting. It could be a hell of a lot of fun, seeing how fun New Orleans already is. And imagine Craig Bowl going bowling. You have a whole bunch of Cowboy fans tearing up New Orleans.
Bourbon Street.
Oh, my goodness. That would be tons of fun.
That would be okay. Overall, outside of the play, Baylor-UCLA looks really fun to me. That would be a great one, I think. A lot of points. Yeah. Brett Hundley, Perry Smith, is that his name? Bryce Perry? Whatever.
Bryce Perry.
Think of something else. That would be very good. And then if I pick another one, Nebraska-USC seems intriguing, the Holiday Bowl. That could be some interest. If I go to the playoff, we already saw Alabama, Oklahoma last year, and Florida State, Ohio State. Sure. I don't know. It's a playoff. I should be more excited about it, but I think Baylor.
Right,
UCLA
right. See,
What do you see? What are you going with?
No, I'm just. Oh, what am I going with?
Yeah. What do you got?
First of all, I want to go to the inaugural Bahamas Bowl.
Oh, there you go.
Louisiana Tech, Ohio, in Nassau Town.
I don't care who it is. I want that bowl game.
I want to go to that bowl game. Seems like tons of fun.
How can I cover? Give me the Shreveport so I can cover La Tech for some newspaper there, and then you go to the game.
The other bowl game that I would think, and you know, yeah, I'm so Chris. You're just saying all these mid-major teams. That's because the mid-major teams seem like tons of fun. The other one, they say it's brand new, but guess what? They're just bringing it back from the 1940s, the Camellia Bowl in Montgomery, Alabama, just for the matchup, Buffalo versus Louisiana Lafayette.
That could be good because Louisiana is that just okay? Question here: is it Louisiana Lafayette now technically considered just University of Louisiana?
Yes.
Okay, because that team it's not Monroe. Okay, UL Monroe. Cause it's Louisiana Lafayette. There's some talk that they could be the best non-power team to get to a BCS or whatever crap I said. A power playoff game, year six bowl, whatever you want to call it. There's a possibility they could be that best team out of these groups. And go and get a big payday. And so that would be a good goal.
I'm looking at their schedule right now.
That's what I've heard. Like, I don't know too much about the Raging Cajuns there. But that's what I've been looking at. Like, that's what, remember, I think Jason Kirk put that up.
Here's Lafayette's schedule. They play Southern, which is FCS. They play Louisiana Tech. They play at Old Miss, which is like Boise State. Then they play at Boise State. So if they beat those two teams, then run through their Sun Belt schedule, Georgia State, Texas State, Arkansas State, South Alabama, New Mexico State, ULM. They avoid the powerhouse Idaho, but they do get Appalachian State at home and Troy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's possibly see them sweeping. That's saying the same exact thing as I could see Boise State sweeping.
Sure. Excellent. So, again, this is May, so this will obviously change. Let's, do you have any other topics you want to get into or anything? Because I have one. Let me check my email to make sure I hit everything here. Is there anything we've missed so far?
The only thing we've missed is, no, actually, we haven't missed on anything.
We've got through everything?
We got through everything. What?
All right, one last thing here before we go. I did make... Yes, the show said 90 minutes at the end, but that's not going to be the case. We're going to be about 45 minutes or so here. Or maybe. Whatever. We got time. Back to the Mountain West meeting. Craig Thompson is excited, or let me rephrase that, relieved that they're good on realignment. There's no need to add any more teams, and there's been no discussion to add any more teams. And most conferences are set because of the grant of rights, like the Big 12. You're not going to have a team leave because then the TV rights from that league, or like say if Texas goes to the Pac-12, whatever Texas does, the Big 12 will keep all the money, and the Big 12 Texas's games will be on the Big 12 network or whoever channels they're on. They'll still be on, instead of being on the Pac-12 network, they'll belong to the Big 12. So
and
teams moving around
actually worked really well for us this year.
Oh, it did. It definitely. So, but. And there's, of course, our good friends in Provo, Utah, who are literally 15 miles from my house right here, maybe 20 miles from where I am sitting at this moment. If I take a 5-minute drive down the freeway, I will see the big Y in the mountain on the east side of town. Here's what they said. We've moved on. Quote, we've moved on. There's always interest because we play them 3 to 5 times a season. As far as them joining the Mountain West, there's nothing in the works or that has been really discussed at any level, which is 100% accurate. Correct? Am I correct on that? That would be.
Yeah. Although I have been vocal recently about adding BYU, or BYU should have rejoined the Mountain West, there really is no place for them here right now.
There will be room made. The MAC has 13 teams.
Right. No, it could be made. It could be made, but it'd be like, well, let's see. How do I put this? So,
be nice.
You know, like how you start dating somebody new after you break up with your completely crazy ex who starts stalking you. That's kind of like BYU, playing us 3 to 5 times a year, even though we're not conference mates anymore. They're you know, trying to
be the booty call? They're the booty call, you mean? Is that right? They call you 2 a.m.
No, it's not
over.
A booty call.
Or
no.
The honor code violation.
Booty call with them. Booty call would involve either us paying them or them paying us.
That's something completely different, but here's the thing about BYU. As my pets are being disruptive in the background, that's fine. Here's the thing, Dennis Dodd, well, let's back up one step further. BYU's getting the shaft. They're getting, I don't know how accurately, we don't need to go too much in detail, but apparently I'm sure everybody's heard, the ACC and SEC, sticking with 8 conference games. They want to play one other game against a power team. So Boise State playing Ole Miss, would it count in 2016 as a power team because Boise State's in the Mountain West? Which, whatever. Boise State's better than Iowa State, Arizona, all these teams, Duke for the most part, Syracuse for a while, Mississippi State, whatever. They're just, that's the lot they're drawing. We get it. BYU went to be independent because, hey, they have a good game. You can argue that. They got more money than the Mountain West by a good, about twofold, about maybe threefold, depending on the team this past year. They figured out, we're a good program. And they are. They're similar to Boise State in power and how good they are on the field. Boise State's a little bit higher. I'll definitely make sure to acknowledge that. You know it's true. In the past decade. So now they're stuck. They don't count. Not that it would matter because the ACC, I think 10 of their 14 teams already play like South Carolina, Clemson. They're already playing a power team. So their voice is like, God, what do we do? We're stuck. It's not going to hurt scheduling, but perception is a big deal in college football, right? Huge deal. And so, here's Dennis Dodd, fast forward to Friday, said, what should BYU do? Well, maybe they should rejoin the Mountain West Conference. Anything?
But do we want them?
I would say yes. It would make the league better. Here's the thing, because BYU fans around here, they have like, no, we'll never go back, which I don't think they ever, would. But here's the thing. We don't need to get too deep. Again, we're not going to get too deep in what BYU's goals are, but here's the thing. They want to be a big-time program. They want to schedule nationally. They want more money and exposure. The ESPN deal, while the money's good for them, doesn't matter. It's not going to carry any weight to join the Mountain West. The Mountain West already has ESPN on their back. Yes, CBS Sports as well, but they have a lot of games on ESPN. Better than last year. It's not going to be all these ESPN 3 games that we had last year. One of them will be on one of the networks. They can just roll in that deal, get a Boise State-like deal, and be close in money. It might drop a little bit. But if they want to make a big money bowl game, go to the Cotton Bowl or the Orange Bowl or anything, they're going to have to rejoin the Mountain West. Because we already know 8 out of 10 years, it's going to be the Mountain West champion or American champion going to be in the big money bowl games, right?
Pretty much.
Sorry, so, well, sorry, Max. Historically, the Max had it twice. Out of how many years in the BCS? And the Mountain West has had every other one in the whack with Boise and Hawaii.
I get it. I'm just apologizing right now.
No, I know. Sorry, yeah, I get it. Okay, I understand. So, but you're right. Do we want them back? There's two questions with this. If, say, for some reason down the road, they go all these multiple years, because there's a delusional BYU fan here. Well, we'll just go undefeated 2 years in a row, and then we'll have to be accepted not to a big money bowl game, but a playoff. When's the last time any team got undefeated 2 years in a row? Your school hasn't gotten undefeated in 30 years. Yeah, that'll happen next year. But here's the thing. If we turn it back to our topic here, do we want them back, and if it's football or for all sports? And would we want them for two teams? Basketball, they've
had
at
this
teams.
Point, they can't even beat. They can't even win the West Coast Conference. Take it back to all sports.
Yeah. Plus, I think a lot of people. Oh, here's the other thing too. I don't want to. This guy used to write for us for about a month around the before BYU went independent. Before he kind of left, and people didn't. It was just a tough situation to be positive when everybody said, "Oh, they stopped, whatever." But we all remember. I'm assuming you remember too that BYU had to deal with the WAC. And then a reporter, I believe, from the Select Tribune who covered Utah State, I think he covers some other team now still here in where I live, he did a simple Freedom of Information Act request, realized, hey, there's this thing called the agreement, or what was it called? The
Yeah, whatever it was called.
Some generic
I know what you're talking about.
Some generic code word where they would play the WAC 5 or 6 times a year, at least for the first 4 years, and join the WAC in all other sports. Well, this guy says that it was Craig Thompson who came in and slaughtered and crushed BYU's dreams. Well, no. If the reporter didn't find that out, BYU would be a member of the WAC, and the WAC most likely would still be alive today. Possibly. And I like how they blame Craig Thompson. Well, he crushed, he went out. Well, he's got a job to do as well. Keep the Mountain West alive. Get Nevada, get San Jose State, get Hawaii, get Fresno. Well, that's fine, he did, but I think Craig Thompson and everybody else would welcome them back in. Their argument was, well, they're only playing teams that weren't part of the Mountain West for very long, or the WAC, or they're new ADs. Like, they play UNLV, they play Boise. But I don't think Craig Thompson is that, well, quote, that much of an idiot. We know we've had his miscues, but there would be money to have to bring them back. It just depends if you want a 13th team or bring along UTEP to make a 14th for football.
Be who for 14th?
University of Texas at El Paso. UTEP Miners.
We can talk more about that.
But off the cuff, okay, if they ever need to join a league, would you accept them back? Because I know how you love BYU.
Wait, you're being sarcastic here, right?
Yes, I understand. If people know that you are not a fan of the Cougars, of Brigham Young.
Yes, I would place them with University of Idaho.
But you also recognize that they carry some weight a little bit.
Absolutely.
Not because they're fat, but because they...
Not because they're fat, no. Because the name actually would help us.
They'd bring more
and
money.
It would definitely help to have more competition.
Okay, that's great. Great answer. That's a perfectly good answer. I expect from you nothing more, nothing less. Not glowing, but they'd fit right in and be competitive and be probably top four every year almost.
Almost.
All right. So that ends that discussion. If that happens, it will be probably 6 years down the road and everything will change again. So now that we have discussed that momentarily, because Dennis Dodd feels that would be the case, is there any other news that we want to talk about? Oh, I did reply to the official University of Tennessee account because they're championing that they can't wait to play Utah State in 100 days. So I replied back why, so Chucky Keaton can run all over you and win by 20 points.
Did you get a response?
No.
Okay, so speaking of Twitter, though. Speaking of Twitter, we have Twitter questions.
Oh, we do?
We do. I see one in front of me, but I'm not too sure if we have more. So this one is from at Buster Bronco ESQ.
Oh, yes.
Buster Bronco Esquire.
Your name here.
Great commenter. Yeah, I know he comments on the site, and I know he tweets us quite a bit. Question, are we, mid-majors, doomed to be even more ignored than we used to be? If so, does it matter?
Ignored by soon making the playoff.
Yeah, I think so.
Here's the thing. I'm not going to say ignored more, but it just the selection committee is already set up to fail, in my opinion, somewhat, because why are they not in a room watching games every weekend with each other, which makes sense, instead of leaving them up to
I think they're going to expand within a few years anyway.
Well, Bill Hancock's already come out and said they're staying at 14 for the duration of the 12-year contract. I don't think they'll be ignored. I'm just wondering. Here's what I get from what they're asking. With the ACC and SEC requiring them to play one power conference team, it doesn't matter. They could be dialing up Utah, Colorado, Indiana, all these bottom feeder Illinois, Purdue teams to play. Most of them already play one, so they're being ignored that way a little bit because they're not considered for strength of schedule wise, which that's what the playoff's going to be about. So even if they weren't going to play you anyways, it still gives you a less of a chance to possibly a Boise State play Ole Miss or a Utah State play Tennessee. It's going to limit those numbers just because they can't schedule. Instead of having four chances, there's only three chances now. Because it's 48 chances with both leagues or each have 14, right?
Yeah.
Wait, that's about, yeah, four, whatever. It drops it down 28 chances to play a team. that's a pretty big deal when there's only 125 teams in FBS. The other issue, it depends on the playoff, because how the committee votes, there is an Air Force guy on the committee there, which will help somewhat. But the recusal policy of him stepping away, if I think a conference-wise is being mentioned. But it's going to take a Herculean-type season, or even multiple seasons, to even have a shot at the playoff. So I don't think it's going to change too much. In fact, I would argue they might, they're not being ignored. It's going to be the same or even less as before, because there's going to be guaranteed a Mountain West or American or Max, whoever, is going to make a $20 million payday, unlike before he had to qualify. He has qualified by being good, but remember Tulane, TCU years ago, where they didn't get in because they weren't ranked high enough. So that part, they're going to be seen even more. But the ignored part is because of all these leagues, like the Big Ten's going to nine conference games, Pac-12's already at nine, Big Ten's at nine, there's just a dwindling amount of chances to play them in the non-conference season. So I don't know if it's being ignored, but it is a little bit. So how do you respond to me probably answering everything you were going to say?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, on top of that, it really is right now getting to the big money bowl game. Being the best, getting the big money. Because I think getting in that top four is slim. It's a very slim chance. But if we look, we have been able to do it. Once again, I point to the 2010 Boise State season. If they had beaten Nevada, they would have been top four. They would have been in the playoffs.
They could have been the national title game.
I think they could have had a good shot at national championship. If we do have a team that really, steps up to the plate, goes undefeated, but their strength of schedule is good enough, the selection committee can't ignore that, especially if there's happens to be a weak field of, power teams. Everybody's 11-1, and you have everybody's going 11-1 or 10-2, and you have an undefeated Pac team or undefeated Mountain West team. Can't deny them that spot. If you do, then you're not only going to get an antitrust case or defamation
feedback.
Claim. Yeah, but you're also going to get serious negative feedback by not just the mid-major conferences, but probably a lot of the top teams who probably, they're better than everybody else. They definitely really want to see that.
But here's
because
the thing,
then
look,
they can say, even our 10-2 team can beat our 12-0 team.
Good thing is, it depends what matrix they use. Because there's all sorts of numbers out there. You can look at Jeff Sagarin, Bill Connolly, look at Peter Wolf, all those guys, Football Outsiders. Because I'm looking at Jeff Sagarin ratings from last year. North Dakota State was a 17th rated team overall. Louisville was 20. So if you want to look for Central Florida, they were only 25 and they made the Big Money Bowl game. So if you look through Bowling Green, 10-4, was 39. All these teams, Fresno State, I'm still looking for them. Eastern Illinois was in the top 50. Fresno State was 54th, and they had two losses. So what I'm getting at, they lead these rankings, and why is my 10-0 Fresno State team from last year not in their top 25 poll? Because they're going off these other rankings and not watching the games as well. That's my big issue, where they rely so much on stats and numbers from these computer formulas rankings to where they go, why, if the AP poll, if they want to be so different from the AP or coaches poll or the new FWAA poll, whatever it's called, we'll go off all these computer metrics and not rank any of the teams because the computer says they're not good enough. Despite that, say, Fresno State or look at that 2004 Utah team. They smoked everybody. What if something like that happened again and they're just, the computer says they're 28, so we're not going to rank them because despite the AP coaches still have them at 15, but we want to be different because we said we're going to be different. That's an issue I think could have where they rely too much on the numbers, which usually their computer rankings do a good job because they don't have biases or anything, but you still got to watch games and see because just because your schedule's weak, if you win by 40 points a game, that still says something about your team being a good team that's winning by five or six touchdowns every game, if that does happen one year.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that could be kind of a bias where they over-rely on these numbers that have their own whatever. Do we have anything else? That was the only question we had, I believe.
Yep. I think it's time to wrap this up.
Let's end the show here. So it's a good hour plus for middle of May. Not much to talk about, but we made it powered through for an hour or so of basketball. We talked basketball. One last note here. We do have a Mountain West baseball this weekend. We will be streaming every tournament game on Wednesday, starting Wednesday through Sunday, or depending when it ends, if it's Saturday or Sunday. So check out for that. And follow Chris. Give your Twitter handle. Where can people find you tweeting about nonsense?
At Greek Padre. Of course.
Greek Padre. You got me. Just do MWC Connection. That works the best. Check out MWCConnection.com. Listen to our show on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Preferably Blog Talk Radio. We'd prefer you to listen there. And give us a rating. Give us a comment. Follow us. We've had some good feedback on the last show from that, so we appreciate the comments you see. We do this pretty much year-round to give them Mountain West news that they may have missed or want some of our – not to say – well, just listen to our comments. I'll leave it there instead of putting us down by saying why would they want to listen to our comments. But people listen to us for nonsense, some news, and we have some fun. So, hey, just check it out to MWCConnection.com. We'll be going once a week. Hey, until football season starts. So we'll be once a week through December. Is that fair to say?
At least once a week.
At least. We're working on twice a week starting soon. Oh, one last note. We are starting our top 50 player countdown again. So do you have any comments about who you think we should see? Because there's a lot of good talent lost last year. So tweet us those. Put them on our Facebook. Give us comments here on this post directly. But just let us know. We'll be rolling that out in about a month or so. So everybody just... Hey, everybody have a good rest of your weekend and keep listening.